WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
There are dozens of languages spoken by people who live in this country, but even among those who just speak English, there are many variations. Linguist Jeff Nunberg has some thoughts on the current state of Black English and what that suggests about our country as a whole.
Back in the late 1970s, Wisconsin Senator William Proxmire made himself the darling of the feature writers by announcing what he called the Golden Fleece Awards. The awards usually went to academics who were using federal grants to do research on what Proxmire considered preposterous waste of taxpayers' money, like studies of the sex life of bats. One target of Proxmire's ridicule was the eminent University of Pennsylvania linguist William Labov. Labov won his Golden Fleece for a project to study the speech patterns of Philadelphia dialects, now I ask you. It would be a disaster for science if you had to justify every project on the grounds of its immediate usefulness. But Proxmire notwithstanding, research on dialects has a real social importance. Language is like the dust that collects on our shoes as we go about our daily business. We don't notice it, but a detective does. And in the same way, sociolinguists can listen to us and tell who we've been talking to. Labov has recently made this point in a provocative hypothesis about changes in the language of inner-city blacks. People used to think that the variety we call Black English arose from an illiterate corruption of Standard English. I suppose a lot of people still think that. But over the past 40 years, linguists have discovered that Black English actually originated in what they call a Creole language. To get an idea of what a Creole is, imagine that a bunch of German, Polish, and Italian prisoners find themselves marooned on a Turkish prison island, cut off from the rest of the world. With no language in common, they piece together a kind of makeshift code called a pidgin. Most of the words are taken from their jailer's language, but the grammar is new, with bits drawn from the various languages the prisoners speak. And if they stay on the island and intermarry, their children develop the code into a genuinely new language called a Creole. The new language is like the churches you can see all over Italy that are built out of stones taken from dismantled Roman temples. The pieces are old, but the architecture is new. This was the situation of the black slaves who were brought to the American plantations speaking a variety of mutually unintelligible West African tongues. They forged a Creole that used mostly English words, but that had its own structure. The Creole probably would have remained distinct if most blacks hadn't been kept isolated on the plantations. But particularly after the Civil War, large numbers of blacks moved into the wider community. And as contact with whites increased, the Creole gradually took on more and more features of Standard English, until it came to seem just another English dialect. But Labov claims that in recent years this long process of convergence has reversed itself. It's true there are many more middle-class blacks speaking Standard English. But in the inner city, black speech has become more dissimilar from white speech than it was a generation ago. And Labov sees this as a sign that contact between the communities is diminishing after 100 years of slow progress towards social integration. As he puts it, these linguistic results are signals of a dangerous drift in our society toward a permanent division between black and white. Labov's findings are controversial. Some linguists dispute the results, and others urge caution in interpreting them. As Stanford linguist John Rickford puts it, there's something to Labov's claim, but we want to find out what it really says about black social identity. The answers may come from some new studies by researchers at universities in several parts of the country. But whatever they tell us about the relations between black and white communities, they'll provide more evidence about the special light that language can shed on social life.
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist associated with the Institute for Research on Learning in Palo Alto, California.